You know, let's take you. How many of us have read the scripture and, you know, we think about, you know, what Jesus has done? He says in John 14, 12, it says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the work that I do, he will do also. The greater work then he will do because I go to my Father. And I was reading a commentary, and somebody was talking about, you know, how they, you know, this thing, the greater work that we would do. And matter of fact, the guy that started the Vineyard Church, the commentary about him, that when, this is very powerful for him, that he's the guy that started the Vineyard, and based on this thing, the greater work we would do. And, you know, we believe in prayer. We believe in the power of God. We believe in the power of healing. We believe in all these things, you know. And then, you know, Christ healed. You know, people were resurrected and all that. And so, but you always wonder, it says, why? Why don't I have that? What's going on? It says, greater works I would have. And so, but will somebody read the commentary on that, please?
Rich.
Imagine God asking you to give everything you own to someone else who would do more with it than you would. Imagine giving up your talent, your career, your family, possessions, reputation, everything you have ever been. That's exactly what Jesus did. He let go of everything, his power, his reputation, his name, his life, his history, his words, his very spirit, everything he's ever been and everything he would be on this earth, and he gave it to us. Then Christ parted physically to sit at the Father's right hand in heaven. Jesus wants to establish his kingdom in us and reign on the throne of our lives. Paul reminds us that we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God, not to us. 2 Corinthians 4:7. Are his heart's desires yours, his plans yours? He will move heaven and earth if need be to accomplish his purpose through you.
His purpose.
So his purpose. So what's your thinking on that scripture? And on the commentary?
I think it's just another scripture that tells us that we have to strive to be like Jesus. We have to project Jesus to the world. If you believe in him and accept him as Lord and Savior, you need to show it. And we can't always do that because we're physical, but people can see a difference. And it's, you know, it says about it. And he said it himself, take my yoke, it's life. Okay? So he's making it as easy as he can for us. But we have to take the first step. As soon as we do, you're right there like this, open your eyes. Come on, let's go. But we have to take that first step, and that's where the faith comes in.
That's what I see. I see us taking the first step, but then he comes all the way from the throne room to us.
Exactly.
So who's going the furthest?
Right. But if we don't take that first step,
yeah,
and we wait for him to do everything for us,
don't work that way.
There would be no faith.
That's not faith.
If we just sit still and wait for Jesus to come and do everything for us, we would have no faith because we wouldn't have it. We wouldn't have any trust.
Faith and works.
You know, it's just like you go into a school, university, and you're there for 4 years and haven't done any reading, studying, turn in your essays or any of that stuff, you know. And
sounds like high school.
And you want the professor to take all your tests.
And then at the end, you're looking for that degree, you know.
Yep.
I said, what's up, you know? But you didn't put no effort, no time in it, you know. There's a vested, you know, energy and belief and strength that we have to put into what we believe in. You know, the word says that we will do these things, but, you know, unlike Christ, you know, what does he do? And he gave his all. You know, how many of us, you know, we want to have this. Elsie told me something yesterday. I told Elsie, I think it was yesterday or whatever. I went outside to deliver something, and then I went somewhere to go get something to eat, and the lines were a mile long, and I said, my God. And then I went somewhere else. Everywhere I went, I saw accidents here, accidents there. Everywhere I go, you know, and I saw all that. And then I said, you know, there's money out there that's flowing. There's a lot of money that's flowing. And I asked Elsie, how come I ain't got none of that? He said, you got to find a widget. What's that widget? That little widget, that little thing.
A widget.
A widget?
Yeah. If you get them on a computer, you have to install them yourself under your home screen.
Yeah. Anyway, so the point is, you know, if you want something, if you want business, you want something better, you want whatever it is, you have to put that time and effort into whatever business, whatever it is that you want.
Find
your
niche.
Find that niche. And so the thing is, you know, we want the relationship with God. We would love to have that power, but do we really? Do we really want to have this, you know, what he said? This work that we would do greater? Really, do we really want that?
But are you willing to put in the work?
Yeah, and that's it.
It says, work your salvation out daily with fear and tremor.
Day, yeah.
And it's not a fear, it's an awe and a reverence for God.
Yeah. I mean, this is a life. This is what he gave every day of his life. But do we do that? You know, do we really spend the time in studying and fasting and seeking his faith? Do we really do that? And then, you know, we want the benefits of the kingdom life, but yet, are we willing to put our time into that, what God has called us to do? And so, you know, God wants to give it to you. He wants to bless you with it. But we got so many excuses.
He gave us a gold mine, but we got to get in there and work it.
Yeah, man. You got to dig into that ground, brother. Get that hammer.
It takes work.
No way.
And when we look at that and we do that work, we immediately look at it as being extremely hard, and it's, is it worth it? I don't know if I can do it. And you don't realize the first time you stick that shovel in the ground, Jesus takes over. And then all of a sudden it's like,
yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Isn't it commensurate? Isn't that a good word? With how you're attached in the body, how you recognize your gift in the body, and certain people. Now, I've sat there, and I found a little four spiritual office. And I go, I don't know what to do with this, you know, as God leads or whatever and all that. But Sam's an evangelist. I can get connected to Sam as a server, and bam, he goes, no, just, you know, talk about Jesus. And it's, I'm in God's plan, right? But if I'm not connected to the right part, he says, and you're not discerning the body, and then you're sick, and about the communion business. And I'm finding that if I don't have somebody that is the head, hey, here's Frank. Frank.
You're late.
You know, you can tell I love you. And I'm seeing this.
Sit there. You sit by Romeo.
Where are you going to sit, bro?
Take a seat.
It's great. And after 47 years. Hey, Frank, I'm going to punch you when I get up.
You want water?
I could have said that.
Yes. But here's what hits me about this is that. To show that the surpassing power of God. Let's see, Mark, can you hear me?
Yes.
Belongs to God and not to us. And I found that my gifts brought me a lot of arrogance.
Come on.
Are you
hearing
me?
Come on.
Last night I had a meltdown because I remembered 1995. What happened in 1995? I said, where's everybody at?
Oklahoma bombing.
Okay, he thinks of the bombing. 1995, I cried. I said, boy, do I miss those guys. 1995 was the Brownsville revival.
Wow, yeah.
And I admit, I was up there many times, not for this, not for that, and thank God for Fritz, because there are false, and that's what I said, you know, but I was looking for the power of God. I wanted to see drug addicts changed. I think I fell into a hole because I couldn't see drug addicts change. And hey, I was totally disappointed. And without the power of the resurrection, you can't do C-R-A-P.
Is that all right to do that?
No, I didn't say it, I just spelled it. So I cried because I missed John
Gritz, right?
Gritz is me.
And I missed, he's just a bumping in up there, he's in Alabama now, and somebody else want to stay?
No, I got it up there.
I want one of those.
I missed the power of God. Missed the presence of God. I cried and I thought, you know what?
Sam said that.
You know, because I've had people say, hey, bro, you know, the spirit, Ephesians says,
we'll get it to the right people. Don't worry.
It's self-control.
I'm not worried.
And I said, well, how can I be an ambassador for God if I don't have self-control? So this is saying to me, but is it self-control for your glory?
You need anybody listening to me.
I'm listening, brother. You're in.
Is it self-control for your that I'm such a God? I can go be a Catholic priest if I want. I've actually been up there and done this and done that. And I can actually be a God. But I thought, wait a minute. If God can't change me to love, and then God was saying, Philip, you do love.
Yes.
And you do represent the kingdom, and you do forgive, and you do need your brothers. And the second we don't think about our brothers, get in. This is our belonging. So I'm on board if you have an audience, but there isn't any audience.
You know, remember that song that says, no, I forgot.
You just started doing that?
That was that quick. No, it was just, God.
Where have
all the flowers gone? You know, what you were saying there, when you talk about Brownsville, when you remember those times that man, when you went somewhere, the power of God was so strong, the anointing of God was so strong in those things, and you say, where did those things go?
And for a season, you can't stay in that all the time.
I didn't. I know. I don't know if he had bacon or ham.
Yes. It should be progressing, not digressing. Is that correct?
Okay.
The power of God. I you know, it's like, this happened, that happened.
Bad rye.
The power of God. There's still people being resurrected from the dead. Where are they? We're not in communication.
I'll trade you.
And I think that's the key right there. Is that, you know,
he likes Robert.
Right.
Unfortunately, I do too.
You guys know Trey.
I can do Trey.
Trey. And Jennifer, Trey Stokes, he was my youth pastor. Trey is an incredible guy. Anyway, they just came back from Pensacola, and they had they had 4 days over there of like the Brownsville revival at Pensacola. But you know what? The thing is that there's things happening all around us. You know, the fire of God is all around us. The miracles are happening all around us. But I think what is it? Are we attuned? Do we have that joy? Do we have that excitement that we had before?
Yep.
You know, are we willing to go over to, for example, to Texas where they for that conference or for a training or whatever? Are we willing to go here it's happening over here?
I'm asking, do you feel like we're progressing or digressing on the power of God?
He's got them on. I'll be there.
Well, I think it's a perspective.
Right.
Okay.
What I see when I read this scripture is someone setting an example for all. That's Christ himself. And you notice he doesn't make himself any private reputation or such. He's doing what the will of the Father is, so he's bringing glory to the name of the Father. What happens in these revivals and stuff is God is in it. I'm not saying he's not in it, you know, but people tend to, instead of saying, look at what God's done, it's, look at Brownsville. You know, look at this revival, look at that revival, but who's getting glory out of it? You see, and as you read that scripture, you know, that's what we need to think of about. Why are we missing it if we are missing it? It's because the wrong person is getting the glory. It's not about our gifts, our talents. It's about them. And when we get our perspective back on him, then we'll see the works of God, because they will follow with it.
I remember the time that when
we came in late.
I remember the time that when we, spending time on reading the Word, studying and going from, when we were talking in the office the other day, in that Bible, that study Bible, that had these scriptures, and you go there, and I sat there and I was reading, and all of a sudden, man, I just started to cry, man, because the power of the Holy Spirit, because I was seeking, I was searching, and you know, that joy, you know, I'm working on a message, and the message is, remember your baptism. Remember the day that you went and got baptized, and you went into that water, and when you came out, man, you had joy, you were just like born again, you were alive. Do we remember those days? You know, the excitement of when we accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior. Do we remember those days that when we put the things off, the things that we used to do, that we don't do anymore because, you know, we've given ourselves to the Lord? Remember those days that we were willing to get up at 2:00 in the morning and go do a coffee run and go minister the gospel to the homeless or to the needy? Do we remember those things? Or those things are just things that we're going to sit around the round table and do a kumbaya party and think about it instead of doing it, you know? Nothing has changed. The world is getting worse and the need is greater. Don't be so consumed with me and mine instead of being consumed with God, you know, and giving of our all. I mean, the baptism, that when we accepted Christ as our Savior, we baptized, that was a commitment. The commitment that God called us to do is to go make disciples of the nation, baptizing them, go teach them, go minister the gospel. But do we do that? Do we do that? We talk about revival, and we're in the church, we want revival, we're praying, and all this stuff, and then when we get out, we forget about revival. You know, the first guy that gets in our way in the car, we give him the number one sign, you know?
Is that you?
Yeah, you were.
That was me.
I always put a little thumb on the end of it. Can I ask a question? Is it a heart condition or an age, you know, what we're saying here? Or an age? Hold on. An age condition. A lady said, hey, you know, I'm moving. I thought 10 years ago, my heart still wants to help her move. Well, you know, I've crashed, my back is gone, this is that. My heart condition is the same, but my age condition is not. It's like, I couldn't lift this speaker up anymore. So, isn't it always a heart condition? And as men here, it says, you that are spiritual judge, right? Is it the heart condition of the true believers, or is it a generation that never has known these things? They're just ignorant of these things. That's about this millennials and all that in the 20s. And they just don't know.
What the millennials are looking for
What is it again?
What the young people are looking for is that revival that we talk about.
The power.
See, when the power of the Holy Spirit is not in the church, and they say these people are coming, they talk about it, but I don't see it. We want to see the power of that baptism, the power that was given to us. The things that we used to do before, why don't we do them? Well, because we're too old? Yeah, maybe we can't pick up that speaker, but we could do something else. The power of God is greater than he is greater than before. So we have to stir up those gifts inside of us. We have to have a personal revival within ourselves so that we can stir up those gifts. You know, we got all these excuses that we can't do this, the things we need to do before. No, it's still there that he is greater than ever. We go out there and drive around.
As an example, we can use Jesus. He went 3.5 years and everything he did was just sharing words. He didn't do physical work. What?
We didn't know
that. Couple one time or something like that. But basically, it was all reaching to the heart. You know? It's great, you can help somebody with something, then do it. But the physical has to be in second place, but spiritual. So how are you talking to that person while you're helping?
I'm an Andre
generation. Well, you know, I think the greatest witness to that generation is the power of a changed life.
There you go.
Because we can talk it all
wrong,
but when they look at you and they see the change, not how religious you are, how much time you go to church, but when they see the change in your character and such from the transformation of the Lord, that's what attracts people to the Lord.
And I will say, Steve Hill started the Brownsville Revival. What was he? He was a criminal. He was a drug addict. He was selling. He was this, he was that. And they saw him change. People did change, and on and on and on. And John, just to protect that, John Patrick said, there's a lot of phones in this thing. People that are just hyping it up and dancing around, and they're not getting touched by it. So we do see a lot of wrong things. But it's like, where do we go from here? What is this after 27 years of the men's meeting?
The new age.
I'm telling you because, you know, hey, I'm cool now, you know, I'm going to get this, I'm in my mother's. I don't need to go to the men's meeting. Actually, you need to go need to convert the leadership of what you said about the coffee ministry. I'm hurt now about that one. I'm hurt now. But where do we go as a men's meeting? And you said, hey, they seem to want to get on board with the Promise Keeper, so I did the Promise Keeper. Well, maybe that's what God's doing. As revitalized, I don't know, Fritz. But I look at Fritz as a pillar of stability, whatever. But it's costly. So I'm not connected to the mind of
my spoon and
the miscommunication. I can watch any church I want from here to Texas. But what does God want me? Where does God want me?
Right where I put it.
See? And I try to get away, and here's Andre at the tax office. And
I thought
it. I try to get away, and here's Lenny over at Doctor. I try to get away, and here's Frank. See what I'm saying? So that's how I discern what God wants. I can't just go out and do this thing myself.
What does the word say? The gathering of the saints for edifying the body. Okay? This is a gathering of the saints. It's not a church. We look back on all these breakfasts we've had and think about all the people that have come and gone.
Yeah.
Where they gone? It's like 100. My little church at Christian Service Center.
Yeah.
I look back at all the people that came through those doors over the years. And if I go find them now, I got to travel around the world.
Oh yeah.
I got a couple in Africa. Emery Goodman was in China and almost got thrown in jail. I mean, you know, it's the, we got them all over, man.
Let's say that, I'll go over there next month.
No, no, this was
in
years
China,
ago.
In China?
Let me tell you about Emory. This was years ago. He was chair of National Bill's speaking in China, and he had to shuck off the person that was guiding him around, and he would get lost and go meet these people. And he told me, over there, they have to tell you where the church is, the spirit has to lead you to. And they share Bibles by one page. And every time you come back, they say, you can't do that. You're going to end up in chaos. Yeah. They finally have to leave the country.
Out of this country.
Go ahead.
But it is true, we've got at least 5 restaurants that I know of.
yeah, really.
Maybe they close on purpose.
And I mean, people came in and listened to what he had to say. Some stayed, some didn't, but who knows what seed we planted for that person that was happened to be in town and happened to be there.
I had a phone call yesterday. This guy that I haven't seen for, I don't even know if I've seen him, to be honest with you. But his mom gave him my number because he just got out of jail. And he's been in and out. What do you do when you're in jail? You get born again, right?
Jailhouse salvation.
Yeah, the test is when you get out, though. But, you know, so we were talking on the phone, and so I'm going to hook up with him, though. You know, we all have a call on our lives. When we accepted Christ and we got baptized, the joy, you know, the very first thing that Christ did, he got there, when he went up, he was drawn to the mountain for 40 days. And during that time, we were tested. And we've been tested. And at the end, the devil says, you know, you're hungry. My bread is God. And the thing is that we fall so easily. With the temptations of the world, the things of the world, the draw of the world, which is enticing, man. It is. It's enticing. The world got some good stuff going on. So we think. And you know what? After a while, I think in industry, that all of a sudden, you know, there's no such thing as retirement. And, you know, the pastors retire. For us to retire. You know, we as older guys here, that being walking with the Lord, we need to have a Timothy alongside of us to train and to teach us and to pass the word off, Right. You know, the coffee runs that we did in the past, guess what? They still need us. And we need to find somebody to teach them how to do what we did, you know? Because it was powerful. The salvations that we had, us praying in the middle of Central Avenue on our knees for a salvation for a homeless person. You know, the Gordon, look at Gordon.
Sir,
we found Gordon in a breakfast one day, sleeping in the bush. And then he was drawn to us, and he stayed up until he died. You know, it was a vet. How many vets are out there? How many veterans are in there right now?
You're a veteran, Sam?
No, I'm not. But, you know, the
he's in the Lord's Army.
Yeah, the ministry of the veterans, those guys are hurting. Those guys are hurting. My brother over here was sharing something with me, which I'm not going to share the rest of the story. But people are coming and going, but the only way that he can minister the gospel is to show the love of Christ. You know, what are we doing? You know, we got this guy over here that goes to the nursing homes, you know, week after week, taking care of those people that can't take care of themselves, and they look forward all week just to see him.
It's a hatch.
You know, it's a hatch. That's it.
that's the question. Do people see Jesus in us? Man, we can talk a good talk.
There you go.
We can hustle a good hustle. Many of us were hustlers back in the day. But you know what? When the power of God and the resurrection of Jesus is on us, people, they're automatically, all you gotta do is walk through a room, and they say, who's that guy?
That's going out always doing, that's just being. Like I say, you walk in your room and you blow, they can see Jesus through you. But some people, I think they have to always do, but then they don't live it.
How about that word, BBB?
That's why we're at the busy bee again.
Yep.
Got
that bee again, right?
Got that busy bee.
And that's the thing, we have to be what we're talking about. We have to be an example. You know, I look at Romeo over here. Now, Romeo, where are thou?
He's right there on the left.
It's on the corner.
There it is.
And you know, here's this guy, you know, the heart and the love that he has.
Yes.
So when you see somebody standing with a cross in the middle of somewhere, on the street corner, and who does that? Who does that? And sits there and takes the ridicule of the people that go by. Are we afraid to show our salvation to the world? Or do we want to look like the world? We don't want to look at the world. We want to be different. We want to be filled with the power of God, the mercy of God.
And you don't have to, everybody doesn't have to be out on the corner like Romeo. It's just little things too. Like I'm walking into Walmart or I'm walking into Target or something, and someone's looking at me. I'm trying to show Christ to me. Right? If someone looks at me, and sometimes if I'm looking big longer, the first thing I do when I look at them is I smile. And smile back. You can see it's like just a little lift for them. You know, there's someone
more water
that isn't me or whatever, you know. And I do it all the time. When I wear this shirt, I get people stopping me before. I like that shirt. Sometimes I say, well, how come you not wear it? But you know, I say, yeah, but that's the boss. And then they want to stop. What do you mean? Explain that to me. Well, that's my big brother. What do you mean? I get 3 or 4 or 5 minutes to explain it. Without him, I'm just a hapless person roaming this world, waking up. And it's little things like that. That's why we call that the Uber ministry, the back to ministry. I use it. And it's like I said with the Johnny Appleseed. I talk to people that go into the airport, plant some seeds, and then I go on my way. And I'm not going to wait and see if the tree grows up because somebody else might need to water it. So,
you know, you said something yesterday when you said that. I remember the day that I wanted to do something. I did it. Whether I had money or not, I always did it. Whether it's money, whether it's a ministry, whether it's starting a business or whatever, I never allow those things to hinder me not having.
You got to be careful. Maturity doesn't bring you paralysis of analysis. I mean, you spend so much time trying to plan and do, where when you were younger, you just, I'm going to do that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Made it happen, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Don't be looking at me like that. Woodstock, man. That's Woodstock.
You know what? That's so true, what he's saying, because we get paralysis of analysis. You know, when you're younger, well, if I fail, I can start all over again, and boom. When you get to a certain age, you know, I'm 7. So what's happening if I fail? Well, you know what? I'm going to fail if I don't do anything. So I'd rather fail doing something than doing nothing.
What are we gonna do?
You know what I'm saying? And to the point is, let's for me is just do it.
I don't know who coined that phrase.
Yeah.
It's better to have tried and failed than never have tried. at all, you know?
Yeah.
One thing for sure, if you don't ever try, you'll never fail.
We use one on my conference calls, when I have those conference calls, I tell you, I think. And the only thing is, nothing beats a failure but a try.
Wow, that's good.
What? Say it again.
Nothing beats a failure but a try.
My grandfather always told me something when I was growing up. I'd try to do something, you know, and I couldn't do it. And he wouldn't accept can't. He'd say, can't, never could till he tried. Do it again. And he made me, and I learned a lot.
I'm not throwing out a question. Now, these are somewhat rhetorical, because I've 47 years. How do you get vision? How do you, I understand about seeking and praying and, you know, getting the will of God. And I only have these, so I can't say, well, Joe here does this. So how many, he's telling, and I know this sounds so simple, but, you know, 8 years ago, a friend said, be still and know that I'm God. Well, how many years ago? But to really say, hey, are we mentioning that when you start to die, you start wondering, was it worth anything? Did you do anything? I'm seeing the transition of this age, anybody over 50, that is your life worth? Did you do anything for Christ? See? And to be still, or to after doing all, to stand, is probably my highest challenge of faith. When you see no results. And I had a lady who was a missionary for 35 years to India. She said, I didn't see one convert. But like, I'm looking at him because he said, but she stayed faithful to where God had put her. And the restlessness and stuff and trying to do something, you might be creating an Ishmael. Okay, so maybe say, be still and just, this is okay and you're doing all right. And
if we're wondering, then we're probably doing right, because the devil's trying to make us think we're not doing anything. If we're not wondering, then we're in trouble.
September, which we're still in, is suicide month. I think it was it 22 or 42 veterans commit suicide every day?
Wow.
Why is that? They feel worthless, Jordan, right? La la la. They have no one to support them, la la la. I think we should go find some veterans somewhere and come on, we're giving a free dinner, maybe that's it. 22
or 8.
The American Legion, they help more veterans. And they're an organization that they tell anyone.
Okay, what's your name?
George.
George.
A lot in there.
Well, yeah.
We're still understanding this greater works.
At the bottom of this, it says, are his heart's desire yours and his plan yours? You know, I mean, you look at, you know, the example you said about age and stuff, you can't use that as a barometer, because Moses himself, you know, when he had his altercation thinking he was doing something for God, the murderer, the such, he ends up going back into nowhere, it seems like. It's really started ministry, 8 years old? You know, and it goes for 40 years after that, and he's going through the desert, obviously. But again, it's, are his plans yours? Because see, we can sit there and say, well, this is what I'm going to do for God and such, and it might be a good thing. You know, maybe it reaches somebody, you know? That's fine, but when you line up with whatever his plan is, for you or for your group or whatever, that's when the leading of the Lord comes in.
But the vision. Why do you think that John, who wrote what you're talking about, was isolated on Patmos? Is that right? When God puts you in an isolation, why is that? That's another one. First, the vision. Second of all, why would he put John in isolation? Okay. Wait a minute. God's will. And see, that's the discernment we get to. And he can put us in that. The Muslims can take over in a moment.
Here's the thing. We hear,
I'm the white
editor. You know, here's a favorite saying. We get paralysis of analysis. And when we get paralysis of analysis, it's when we try to do too much or something to try to figure it out. And one way, that old saying, you just let go and let God direct you into where it is. We all were created from the beginning of time, before we were born, and God had called us and instilled in us what God wanted us to do. Not all of us are going to be the hand. Not all of us are going to be the foot. Everyone has a gift. Everybody has a talent. You know, Romeo here, he likes carrying that cross. God bless him, you know? But how many people, when you were over there, and see, the difference is,
My name is George.
Okay, George. You know, the difference is that when you go somewhere and you are under the power of the Holy Spirit, that you are the change maker into that situation because you're walking with the power of God. But if you go into a situation and you're being changed back into the world, then where was your salvation? Where's your relationship with God? So if you go in somewhere, you make the change. They don't make the change. You make the change. You know, and because you're walking under the anointing and the call of God, that you make the change. And your change might be subtle. You know, just like the degree of that, you know, the plane, just a little bit of degree off that takes you all the way around somewhere else. But you're the one under the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You know, going to church don't make you Christian, brother. You know, people go to church as, that's something to do. Something where they go, well, all of you.
I tell people that because if going to a garage made you a car, I'd have been a car years ago.
Oh my God, yeah.
I have a Volkswagen in my opinion.
But and that's right. See, yes. You're the one that's supposed to be making the change. Transformation because they see it in you, the power of the Holy Ghost, the power of your baptism, the dedication that you gave you when you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, the commission that he gave us. You're supposed to be that change. You're supposed to be the difference. Not us going into a bar and being a drunk, but going into the bar and people start getting sober. So if we're not making a change, if we're not influencing the world is influencing us. And see, we were set apart. We're supposed to be set apart. You know? And you know, we all have issues. You know, I've been going through my issue of menopause.
That's men, Opal.
Yeah. And, but you know what? It's just like yesterday. I was so fed up, man. I'm driving down the road. Ambulance, accident over here. People rushing. You know what's going on? I revert back to my old motor. People coming over here. People going out. Vehicles. I mean, the world is in chaos. But we're not supposed to be in chaos because we're not in the world. We're not of the world. We're of God. We know where we're going. We have the answer to salvation. We have the answer to all the cures of the world. And that's Christ. But if we don't walk with that power, that anointing of God, and that call that God gave us, what are we doing? We're just playing church, man. I don't want to come in here and play church. I'm going to stay in bed and snore over there. We want to be
be a difference. You're going to make that difference. You know, if that guy that, what's his name, he's not here today, that goes to your church, he does his coffee thing. He called me, but he called me late, but he's old, he's retired and all this, but guess what? He's making sandwiches, and he's taking it out to the homeless, and go, because that's what's in his heart to do. What is it that God has called you to do? You know, we can't. Hey, let's do it. You know, paralysis of analysis, and that's what I have. I got that paralysis of analysis so much. But I thank the good Lord, because right now I've been pursuing my credentials again. I got them. They're coming. I was signed up. I pastor it, and my ordination is coming forth. And so what? So what? Those are only papers. But because my credentials and what I can do is, that doesn't define who I am. That just defines that I've been doing it.
Just opens a few doors.
But we need to be about our Father's business, whatever that business is. Phil, if it's cut that lazy dog across the street because he can't do it, or helping that guy, taking him to the VA, or whatever, these things that God called us to do. He raised his season and all his season to do what God called us to do, whatever that is, going in there and helping somebody, maybe giving them at least short 25 cents, you give them $4, give them $1. Buying them a cup of coffee, paying the bill, whatever it is. Be. Don't just be, but be the man that God calls you. Amen? Okay, all the time. Sir? I don't like you.
Why should I worry? Why should I fret? I mean, we sing the songs. They're in the hymns. They've been written about for hundreds of years. All these people have gone on way before us, and they're telling us a story. Why worry? Why fret? And enjoy the walk. Enjoy it. If you're struggling in the yoke, your neck is plowed. Enjoy the walk. And it is a walk. And you know what? You will fail. You will succeed. You will live. You will struggle. All of that is all part of the picture. And if it wasn't in the Word of God, I would say, we're just playing games here. But God is with us and for us and delights in us. Even if we do the wrong thing. And you go, really? Yes, really. I will be with you. And what about the greatest lesson you ever learned? Was it through your victories? No. I think mostly through our defeats.
Failures.
Yeah. And so enjoy the walk.
Can't fail Friday.
I can't encourage you guys enough to keep reading. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee.
She had to work.
It says I might not sin against her, but there was a lot of blood shed for me personally. Very personal. And I'm a mess. And I don't do anything about her. And I don't even expect to do anything about her. My expectation of Jesus Christ that He completely paid for everything I could ever be wrong, past, present, future. That hasn't changed, has it?
Nope.
So let's walk in the victory that it is, because,
What's the little looking?
What do you have?
You can't get a pregnant
that they don't. What do you have that they don't? And each one of us is so unique that, you know, it's not the same for everybody. But it's glorious. What it is glorious.
And Paul told us about that in 1 Thessalonians. We should be thankful in the good times and be thankful in the bad times.
You know, because
they're all going to come.
There's a song